We have come to a motion that we all agreed upon, which is wonderful. There were no objections at all. We had a few amendments. That's what took so long. So I'm waiting right now to get that motion from and in the email from John so I can read it to you all. John, have you sent it?
Yes, ma'am.
Madam Chair, Bella DeSoto, may I be recognized?
Yes, go ahead.
Can you announce the open session again and the date?
Okay, so this is the LSD second
KPFK.
Part. Bella, honestly, not anymore. So this is the open session, the second part of the KPFK LSD from November 6th. It is now 1:57. And we have finished the closed session, and I'm going to now read the report out of the motion that was adopted. So motion opposing sale of the KPFK, actually it says motion strongly opposing sale of the KPFK property, parentheses building and parking lots, parentheses closed, to pay down to the debt. Whereas initial steps to sell the KPFK station building 3729 Coinga Boulevard West, North Hollywood, California, have been approved by the PNB to pay down the overall debt of Pacifica as a whole. And whereas sound business principles strongly advise against cashing out any minor major capital assets to pay down excess ongoing operational expenses with no business plan in place to reverse longstanding losses. And whereas Pacifica has proposed no such business plan or any business plan. And whereas KPFK itself bears only limited responsibility for generating Pacifica's overall debt. And whereas KPFK has in recent years been chronically deprived of management adequate to the task of reversing its own fortunes. And whereas KPFK houses, the houses is actually also stricken. So whereas it's houses and operates the single strongest FM signal west of the Mississippi. And whereas adequate broadcast facilities are necessary and valuable to the ongoing operation of KPFK and its ability to fulfill Pacifica's mission. And whereas the building was originally acquired to provide for precisely that need, and acquisition of comfortable facilities would be difficult and is in no way guaranteed. And whereas the KPFK building houses not only KPFK, but also the Pacifica Radio Archive and the Pacifica National Office, three of Pacifica's eight business units, all of which require adequate facilities to continue operations, all of which would lose their current facilities and have to be relocated were the building to be sold. And this would have the consequence of a major increase in the operating expenses of all three units, which do not currently pay rent. Whereas sale of the KPFK station building, Pacifica's single most valuable material asset, would be an irreversible loss to KPFK and Pacifica as a whole, and therefore be it resolved that the KPFK local station board opposes sale of the KPFK station building to pay down Pacifica debt, particularly with no plan in place to assure responsible disposition of any proceeds to put Pacifica and KPFK back on a path towards solvency and no guarantee of being made whole again itself. Be it further resolved that the KPFK local station board urges Pacifica management and the PNB to come to grips with Pacifica's chronic failure to generate adequate revenue, its habitual deficit spending, and the resulting debt, and to do so by more appropriate means than selling off major capital assets, including but not limited to serious consideration of all options to refinance, consolidate, and pay down existing debt. So,
Chair, this is Lawrence.
Okay, Lawrence, what's up?
I believe what should be in order and should be prioritized is public comment, because we spend enough time with ourselves in discussion. So I'd like to hear public comment, starting with Hara, who was the first one.
Out of order. Point of order.
Yes, what's the matter, Beth?
Thank you.
Am I out of order?
Very brief corrections. One is that I understood that one of the amendments changed the language, not just in the title, but in the first line of the first clause, where it should read, if I'm not mistaken, whereas initial steps to sell the KPFK station property rather than build.
Go ahead and take a couple of these.
Do you want to try a sample?
Well, let me just see.
Ruth, can you?
I think that's Ruth.
John, did you see this change?
Well, that's not what was voted on. I read back the change in the line only, and that's how it was amended. I'm not aware of any other understanding. It's up to the board.
It was voted.
When I review the audio, I can update it.
I would like to declare that we make that change that Beth has just mentioned, because I also think we have voted on that. It was like there was no objection to it. So, okay, so now I would like to go to public comment, and actually
there's one more.
Yes, okay, there's another one.
Yes, in the clause that I think it read, whereas the KPFK building houses not only, and you said that the word houses was stricken, and that amendment was defeated.
That's right, that's why I corrected myself, so it's in there.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so now...
Chair, may I be recognized now?
Go ahead.
So Haber Hangala does not have a mic, so he wants me to read his public comment.
Okay.
Okay, let me see if I can do that. He says, please read out my public comment. Question. Oh, boy. can somebody else do it? Because it keeps moving away from me. John, can you do it?
Okay, yes, I have it. And please time me. Questions. Questions grouped as section 1 through 38. Section 1. Crucially, what are the decision rules that the directors are using in trying to cope with the current cash crisis? If there is none, why are they choosing to act irrationally? Before deciding to sell the KPFK Radio Archives building, had the PNB adopted plans for KPFK for 1 year, 2 years, and 5 years? What's being set up is repeater station and selling licensing of the archives. KPFA has 31 full-time equivalents. KPFT has one. WPFW and WBII each has 8. KPFK has 13. Why haven't the directors been rational enough to devise a network development plan so we don't have nonsense like the KPFK bookkeeper having an assistant? The last net income statements are for July. Why have the directors decided to violate California law by choosing not to exercise fiscal management? Instead, choosing to simply use a past due payables list and an unreconciled consolidated cash account balance. Choosing to fly blind? No, release cash by reducing KPFK staff to 13. Section 2. Even after the 5 stations being in fund drive for October, E.D. Wells has just told us that cash on hand totals $110,000. Personal expenses are currently $450,000 per month. However, directors and managers have spoken of Friday payrolls of $170,000 falling due for each of 11 and 25 November. As Ms. Kaufman has said, this is the immediate problem. Why have directors Reyes and Gunton, should be Von Gunton, been silent on this? Why the abdication of leadership? Also, E.D. Wells is disingenuous in speaking of $3.1 million in payables. That includes the best part of a $2 million historic interdivisional transfers that any rational bad debt policy would have written off years ago. By contrast, vendor past due payables has been publicly reported as $1.1 million. Exaggeration is a common technique to try to induce panic. Please stop that.
That's time, John.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so I think Stephanie is no longer with us, is she?
I think she is. Hold on, let me see.
Stephanie, are you there?
Yeah, she's still here. She's still
there. Yes, I'm here.
Do you want to respond to that at all?
Well, we've been working on, as far as employee reduction in time and hours, what we're working on, that has also been motions that have been passed by the national board to do hour reductions with the employees. We have done that at KPFT. We are working on that at all the other stations and divisions, but what we're also focusing, what you have to realize is that the high majority of the staff is SAG-AFTRA. So we want to make sure that we are working, and we definitely are, meeting and working with our SAG-AFTRA representatives at each of the divisions. If we have any sort of discussion of reduction in hours or reduction in pay, then we need to make sure that we are following the rules and the contracts that we have with our SAG-AFTRA leaders and members at each of the stations. And any sort of reduction in those hours has to be run through them. So we have met with them with contract renegotiations at KPFK. We are having other discussions this week with the representatives from New York, Washington, and Los Angeles regarding a sliding pay scale that we're trying to implement in order to save on some of the salary costs. And we want to make sure, again, that we're following the rules that we have with our SAG-AFTRA leaders. As far as the cost of salary, the cost for our total salary is approximately $351,000 per month. It's usually one pay period is about $188,000, and the other pay period is about $162,000, $163,000, because we have health benefits that need to be added to one of those as well. And we also have some other costs that are a payout with the paying off of a lawsuit. And that person is being paid once a month to pay out that settlement. So that's why there's a difference in those salaries. So we are looking at the reduction of staff. But again, we want to make sure that we are doing everything by law to cover and those relationships and contracts that we have with our SAG-AFTRA members.
Okay, thank you. So since this is a public commentary section, I would start with a public commentary. And I see your hand up, Jim and Bella, but you will have to come. And Lawrence, I first will take the public commentary. So Michael is first, then Kim, then a person with the last digit 2307.
Hi.
Okay, so
Chair, may I have a minute to respond?
No, not really.
And Michael, John, it's not your place. It's the chair's place. I just want to point a personal privilege in regards to something that Howard said. It'll take about 30 seconds. All I can tell you, Howard, is that we've been sequestered in executive session, and Beth and I have been fighting like hell. So I do not take well to your comment that we've been derelict. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So now, Michael Heiss, go ahead.
Yeah. Excuse me. Thanks, Jerry. Given that we're now over 4 hours combined, public and executive for this meeting.
No.
Emotion. Excuse
me. We started at 11.
Okay. Well, I didn't turn the clocks ahead or whatever. Given that we've spent those 3 hours and 10 minutes, my bad, and a motion has been passed, at this point, I would like to request that the chair set a time certain at this point, because I just live in fear that we're going to be going over the same damn things over and over again. And I think at this juncture, it might be good to take a break and let everybody compose their thoughts. There's a fundraising committee meeting tomorrow night. I've already submitted 2 motions surrounding that to Janine for distribution to the committee. We've all agreed that we really don't want to sell the building. Great. Now what? But do we really want to talk about that now? And everybody is just so beaten up.
Thank you, Michael.
Chair, this is out of order. This is Jonathan. I'm on the stack during public comment.
You are, and you will speak. Don't worry. You get to
this. I am concerned that Michael Heiss is trying to shut down this meeting prematurely before the public has had a chance to weigh in on any of this.
Oh, come on.
Okay, can you guys quiet children. Please be nice. Everybody gets to speak. This is the public comment. Thank you, Michael. So the next one is Kim. Please keep it to 2 minutes. Thank you. Kim, go ahead.
Sorry. Can you hear? You can hear me? I'm just going to say that because I haven't read the motion, I can't really address it. So I will probably be writing up something when I do see it. But I will agree with Jara, that, yeah, this board has been fiduciarily irresponsible for years. And this is where it's landed you. I know you don't want to sell the building, but I don't see any other options to get through even this month. And you're still not even addressing it. So la-di-da, carry on.
Thank you, Kim. So then there's a person with the last digits 2307. You have the floor. Can you unmute, please? Thank you.
Hello.
Go ahead. Go ahead, we can hear you. Oh, he just dropped off. Okay, so then there's another person, caller in user 8. Can you please speak up?
Can you hear me? This is Janine Roan.
Hi,
2307.
Yes, we hear you now.
Okay, sorry about that. One is, I just wanted to mention that the Finance Committee for KPFK passed a motion, and so did the LS, moved it to the LSB, and they passed it for full financials. And those are so important, a general ledger, in order to be able to assess and move forward with budgetary items. So to say that, you know, there has been, you know, that the body hasn't properly assessed and made action on getting their finances together, it's hard to do that when you don't have the information you need. And I've repeatedly brought it up, and now I'm not even allowed to bring it up in the Finance Committee anymore. Hopefully with a new chair, I'll be able to do that again. Second is, I'm certainly happy that everyone agreed on a motion, and I think actually it would be nice if the report out included that it was unanimous from the attendees. And then the third thing is that although I'm happy that there is resistance, I also think it should have mention of the bylaws and how the bylaws are being interpreted, because the sale would be in violation if not going through the membership. And if that is not how the board feels, then they should interpret the bylaws and get it on record on how they interpret the bylaws that this would be within the jurisdiction of the PNB to do. So that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Janine. I want to respond briefly. So we had word from Arthur Schwartz, and also Grace has told us that there is actually no rules that for asset being sold, if it's not substantially or all of the assets, that there is no need for a vote of the listeners. This was also news to me. We're all still digesting this and seeing how we can come back from that. So next one would be Colin User 8. Do you want to speak up, please? Colin User 8.
This is Jonathan. I have no idea if I'm user number 8 because I'm telephoned in. I cannot see the Zoom.
Yeah, you're user number 8, John.
Okay, thank you. Okay. First of all, was the motion that was voted just now in executive session posted to the chat? If not, I have no copy of it. I would like to see it quickly. This is a serious problem. It needs to be emailed to everybody on this call and all the members that are on this call. So, you know, I have no way to see this motion. I'm glad to hear in general that this body has voted, if I'm not mistaken, unanimously for this motion against the sale.
That is correct.
That's the first question I have. Is that a yes?
Yes.
Okay. And were the same members were on the call during the executive session that were on the previous public session?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, this is what I want to say here, is that I'm sorry, but Arthur and Grace are incorrect. Let me tell you something. You know, the prior sale of the original Pacifica Foundation building in Berkeley, there was never any public vote about that I know of. So the reason that Pacifica has never been held accountable, Pacifica's board, in terms of dispensation of its assets, is simply because the National Board has never followed the bylaws requirements as such. The listener members absolutely have a right to vote, and that means they have to be prior notified of the conditions of any dispensation of any asset. As far as any percentage of asset, which was just quoted by you of Grace and Arthur, this is BS. This is horse shit. So what I'm trying to say is that in principle, the fact that this motion was not read out loud there's no reason for this motion to have been voted on in executive session. This is absurd. There's nothing proprietary about this whatsoever. We're talking about every aspect of this motion. Are we not now?
Yeah.
That's a legitimate question.
May I respond to
you? Sure, I'm not blaming this on you or any particular person. I'm telling you that this process is illegal right now.
Okay.
Hello.
That's time.
Time's up. Thank you.
Lawrence, I need you to respond. You are the national board member here. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. So I want to first read something from the bylaws that is actually this Article 3, Members of the Foundation, Section 5, Rights. All members shall have all rights granted to them by law or by these bylaws, including without limit to the right to vote on the terms and in the manner set forth in these bylaws, on the election and removal of delegates, on the sale, exchange, transfer, or disposition of all or substantially all of the foundation's assets. Okay, so this is what we're referring to. In the bylaws, it doesn't say any assets, it says all or substantially all. And so we will try to find out how we can interpret this. But this is why right now this is not included about the voting of the listeners, because the bylaws are not 100% clear what substantially all means. So we will seek some counsel on that. And then the other thing I wanted to speak about, there was a closed session because there were names mentioned that made basically how the votes were coming down at the P&B in a closed session. And so this is not for us to disclose. So this was the reason, Jonathan. Thank you. Now, Andrew Weiss is next, and
Jim. Yeah. Jim, you're forgetting Jim.
Sorry? What do you want to learn?
Careful, my thing on the oven is hot.
You're forgetting Jim Dingman.
Jim Dingman, is he part of the public? I thought he's an officer.
No, he's probably part of the public. He's a director from WBAI, though.
Yeah, but I didn't know that he was a director. I thought he's like, okay, Jim, go ahead, then you first, and then Andrew.
Lawrence. All right, thank you, Zuri. I'm going to tell you guys what I'm in resistance to. I'm in resistance to 20 years of mediocre performance by the whole – could someone mute that individual? I'm in resistance to 20 years of mediocre performance by the stations. We have four stations right now, include WBI New York. Who the hell's in the background with that noise?
That's Lawrence.
All right, Lawrence, you got to mute, man.
I muted him.
All right. We have – four stations right now simultaneously having financial problems, including PFW, unprecedented. And in all these discussions, what are we going to do? Is Tinkerbell going to fly in with millions of dollars to bail us out? How are we going to deal with this situation? Some people want to push us into bankruptcy, which I'm completely opposed against. And most, I'm going back to years ago, we were told by lawyers that would be an idiotic option to take. So where are we going to get the money? Where are we going to get the money, guys? That's the basic bottom line. And earlier somebody implied that I'd done a big study on this, that it was my study that provoked the board to deal with. Bullshit. I did not. We're dealing with literally millions of dollars worth of problems, and that's the kind of dilemma we're having. Okay, that's the kind of dilemma we're having. So people have to understand that these are tough options. Nobody wants to do this. Nobody wants to screw other stations. We don't want to screw ourselves in general. And I don't want to see signals being sold, signals being swapped. That to me is worth a hell of a lot more than a goddamn building. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Andrew is next, please. Andrew, can you unmute?
Thank you. I was looking for the button. First of all, as far as membership voting, I think substantial, a building, one of five buildings that is the home of a station qualifies as substantial, the home of all the workers who go there. That's substantial. Second, all this criticism of the ED. The ED, I can see, has been showing up at all, most in all of meetings, and participating and answering questions. And I think we ought to give Ms. Wells credit for that, at least. She seems to be trying her best, and I think we should stop the personal attacks and accusations about her. And we don't know her intentions. They all seem good to me as a listener and a member. Third, I agree with the previous speaker, Jim Dingman. I have not heard any solutions besides what is being proposed. We need to pay our bills. We need to pay our staff. They should not be expected to work at half pay. And I have not heard any reasons why we should not sell a building and go rent another one somewhere else. It's just a building. It's not the station. I have not heard any good reasons why we should not, except for sentimental value. And that sentimental value is not going to save our network or save our station. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. So I'm going to first go to the public, which is Nancy is next, please. Go ahead.
Yes. I commend the board for working so carefully. In the case of KPFT, we had no real reason to keep that building because it was uninhabitable. Your building is a different thing. My complaint is a little bit different. It's not about this heated about selling of the building. It's about what happened on October 20th in the PMB. They voted not to use the runner-ups of the 2021 election to fill the vacancies that will occur, the six-year tendered out LSB members. This is completely against the bylaws, and only one of your directors voted against it, and that was Lawrence. And all the other three voted for it. And I'm really hoping that this will be repealed and not used, because it's so undemocratic not to use your runner-ups when you have vacancies. You have to have 24 members. You just don't work on a smaller size board. And I think this is also a problem. And I know you're concerned about the building, but this is also coming up towards us very quickly. So please find out about the October 20th meeting of PMB. Listen to it. It's not too long. Mr. Tanaka of KPFA, Akio Tanaka, gave this ridiculous motion, which was against the bylaws, not to use the runner-ups of the last election to fill the replacements that will be coming up. Some people have already finished their 6 years. They cannot go further than 6 years. They should not. So this is in our future.
You have time, Nancy. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So there's Colin User 10. Do you want to speak up? I don't know who it is.
Can I be heard?
We hear you. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks. I'm happy about the motion that was passed. I agree that the building should not be sold. You don't sell your assets. You don't sell needed assets unless you have a way of replacing them. So unless someone has, a house that's big enough to accommodate the archives, the station, maybe the national office can go into Stephanie's garage, but, you know, unless you have that in a market, that, and I've always heard, I have friends live in LA, I've always heard that the housing market out there is crazy, or the only thing crazier than that is the traffic. So I agree, it should not be sold. But there are savings that can be had. We have a staff that is, for the most part, old. I'm also old. Many of our staff are Medicare eligible, yet we're paying tons and tons of money for benefits that may only save them a few hundred dollars a year. Negotiate that away. It's better to supplement someone's existing insurance, whether it's through a spouse, through a marketplace, as we know they exist in New York and certainly in California, a health marketplace, a health insurance marketplace. Save the money that way. That's quite a bit of savings. That's one. Two, in New York, and I'm an overnight radio listener for the most part, but we have some great programs that are overnight. But we also have things where programs are just repeated during the week. And the attitude, and I won't say who I'm quoting, but the overnights don't make money is what we hear. Fine. Lease some of that time in New York to generate some income. And I don't care, you know, you can point fingers and name names. We know there are some people have their traditional attack mode. But the fact is, right now, we're treating our system, our stations, as though we're doing infomercials most of the time anyway. It is Home Shopping Network much of the time on WBAI. Do it in an organized fashion. C-SPAN doesn't have a radio outlet in New York. Maybe it's something they'd be interested in doing. UN Radio, other NGOs, find a way to use the time that we have that we're not using productively in many senses of the word.
15 seconds.
I will say I'm not recommending that all the nighttime programs be simply shoved off the air. Make accommodations, find time, find a block of time, reassign people. There are great programs that are on overnight. That's why I don't get much sleep. But we have to do something beyond simply continuing to sell asset after asset after asset. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So are there any more from the public other than that? We just have Bella and Myla. And I think it's important enough that we hear these two. I also would like to say a few final words. So if you want to get on the stack, now is the moment, because then we're going to finally close this meeting. So Bella, go ahead. Please take to late maximum 2 minutes.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to point out that that earlier you said something about the listeners would not be voting, but it's the membership. Remember, it's the membership, the owners of the foundation. I want to point out to one of the call of the public members that was not able to hear when the chair read the motion that was unanimously passed by this body. And so since he missed that, he did not hear the language. And that is a problem. It should, and the secretary needs to make that available, post it, or the chair at KPFTX as soon as possible, as the report out. And I'm very happy that we coalesced and were able to vote this in, so that this goes directly, immediately to all the necessary parties, including the PMB, as soon as possible. And thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Bella. Myla, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Real quick, Myla, hold on. I also took issue with the announcement that the Finance Committee has not done its due diligence regarding our financials. And I'm glad that Janine Rund spoke clearly as to what has, because I've been chiming the alarm for so long, we don't get the proper documentation. And a motion was passed recently at the PMB that Kim Kaufman was a signer to, which further prevents any information, including fund drive information and accounts payable aging reports. So we are moving into a very difficult state where the finance committees, if they do not get the necessary material.
Okay.
There is no reason for us to meet, to have a finance committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now
for
my
the record.
I'm so sorry.
I was completely misquoted by Bella. Practically everything she said was false. Okay.
Thank you for the record. Thank you, Kim. So now, Myla, go ahead.
I apologize for blurting out. I didn't realize I wasn't muted. I just want to say I really appreciate what Jonathan Markowitz had to say earlier. He and I and others here, I'm not sure who else, were part of the long and arduous process crafting the bylaws that we're working under. And I believe that one of the things that motivated us and our intent in terms of including the membership in significant sales of assets was that we had kind of come together because the old Pacifica National Board had, we found out, had been members of that board who had been negotiating the sale of licenses and may have, in fact, been doing that as a way of personally enriching themselves. And so we put that particular part of the clause of the bylaws about sale of assets in order to allow the membership to weigh in. And I think it was poorly worded, but our intent, I believe, was to have the members actually require a membership vote on significant sales, such as a sale of property or a license. And I don't think when we said all that we meant that it was either all of them or most of them. I think we were saying that our intent was that any significant asset would be that we would require a membership vote for the sale of any significant asset. That was certainly my intent when I was working on it.
Thank you. Okay, so now I see that there's more and more people getting on the stack. I think this is such an important issue that I would like to have 10 more minutes to hear these people, if that's okay.
Second, Bella.
Thank you. So there's somebody called Listener. Do you want to speak up, please? Listener, it's your turn. We can hear you. Go ahead. We just hear you too. Hello. Okay, there's somebody on the other line that's chewing. Do you want to speak up? Obviously not. So then Jonathan, go ahead. Please stick to 2 minutes. Jonathan, you have to unmute.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Myla's history of that period is correct. There were certain things when we wrote into the bylaws that we were going to address as the years go by, but we never got to it after 2004, after the ratification of the bylaws in 2003. But without question, the actual threat was the sale of the New York license, by the way. At that time, it was worth over $300 million. So even though the license in New York now is worth, who knows, between 40, maybe $50 million. This is big money, okay? And because Bella has accurately restated over and over again, going back years now during this pandemic, and Janine has also time and time again correctly characterized the lack of adequate or even the most basic financial records of income and expenditures, I believe, in all five signal areas, but more so in certain signal areas. So these are closed shops, and for us to sell any asset under these conditions is absolutely illegal. Illegal. We do not have fiduciary responsibility. Jim is in agreement with that. And what I'm trying to tell you is that Jim's impetus to sell this building is not the solution, in spite of his rationale. So I just want to just point out the fact that there was a unanimous vote on this resolution tells a lot. because, you know, the interest to control this network is definitely underlying our long sustained battle here over a year, two, three, 4 years now.
Okay.
I mean, the shutdown of WBAI is certainly an indication of the character and underlying motives of those who on the national board to this day who are pushing for the sale of KPFK's building. If this building was able to sustain the network for the next 2 or 3 years so that we do have time to redevelop a listener sponsorship that could support the network without having to seek outside funding, then that would be a different story. But without a doubt, the sale of this building is not going to put us in a better financial situation than we already are. As far as the solutions, Jim is correct. We don't have any solutions that have been proven to be viable yet. However, I still maintain that we have to go into simulcast marathon fundraising, simulcast, live broadcasting in all five signal areas, that simulcast 24/7 for at least 2 weeks. I believe we can raise between $5 and $10 million, but it has to be promoted, be heavily promoted for 2 weeks prior to the launch of a marathon like this. This is something that's never been done at Pacifica ever.
Thank you.
Time we do it.
So, hello, is this the listener?
Well, I don't know how I'm labeled now. I was listener, call-in listener 10.
Okay, so just
10
up, go ahead. But
okay.
Please, do a short time because we really want
sure,
to.
Sure, sure. And my battery's dying, so I'll go really fast. I want to remind people that the PNB is now meeting weekly, so they will be meeting on Thursday. The address is pnb@pacifica.org. The PNB has not had public comment at any meeting since its last in-person meeting in 2014 or so. I'm quite sure it's a violation of the bylaws. I suspect it is also a violation of California law. I urge someone to take that up. They should not be simply able to ignore email when they want to, read it when they want to, and not be accountable to the listeners, to the members in any way. PNB@pacifica.org, make your intentions clear and insist that they find a way to integrate public comment. It can be done. It's done by every other organization that requires it of its team. This so-called team of 22, well, 21, because one person hasn't been there for months, needs to do better than suggesting we simply sell, sell, sell. Find ways. Listen to the people. You are not the reservoir of knowledge that you think you are, regardless of how loudly you speak or how many meetings you show up at. That does not give you expertise. And we don't care what you said 30 years ago or 30 minutes ago if it's not useful in preserving Pacifica.
Thank you very much. So we have three more, and then we're going to wrap it up and end the meeting. So it's Jim, Kim, and Andrew. Okay, so Jim, go ahead. Please keep it short.
Yeah. We have to raise the audience dramatically, as simple as that. And that's not 30 minutes ago. That's not 30 days ago. That's not 30 years ago. That's right now. Unless we raise the audience up to 200,000 to 500,000 a week, we're whistling Dixie. Because even if we sell an asset, there's no guarantee that with the current structure, that money will not be urinated down the drain. And I don't really care what some people here have been on the PNB before. What did they do? What did they do when we had inflection points where we could improve the situation? They did nothing. That's why we're in this situation to start with. Oh, solutions. Yeah, we'll talk about solutions, and we should bring in everybody on those solutions. But we're not going to solve them with, namby-pamby, not getting down to the problems of that we have millions of dollars worth of debt caused by the fact that most people don't want to listen to what we're broadcasting. And people don't want to confront that. When the hell are we going to confront that? And I don't care what the previous person said about anybody's comment about that. What's the solution that they've come up with? Nothing.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Kim, go ahead.
I just have to push back on that people need extra documents in order to be able to evaluate the finances. As Dingman just said, there have been inflection points that people have ignored. And that certainly happened at KPFK for the last 5 or 6 years. 2019 was that inflection point, and nobody was paying attention because they want to talk about programming. There has been complete lack of or ignoring oversight by this LSB as well. You know, look at our budget talks. I mean, how many people voted for Mikkel and Lydia's $1 million deficit budget? Let's see, Lawrence, Paulina, Michael Novick, Bella, you know, and Marisol. You all voted for a $1 million deficit budget. You call that financial prudent oversight? I do not. Look in the mirror, y'all. You know, selling a building is not selling a station. It's not selling a signal. It's not selling a brand. It's a rundown building. It's decrepit. And you can move someplace that's going to be much better, going to be ADA compliant, and many other amenities, which you don't have now. So, you know, I understand that you're all scared, but nobody has, you know, much to say. All this off-air fundraising, haven't seen it. People have been talking about it for 12 years. Haven't seen it. Maybe $1,000 has been raised. That's not adequate, people.
Thank you, Kim. Next is Andrew, please. Janine, I'm not going to take you anymore because I said after Andrew, you make a hard cut. We've been way too over. So, Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Andrew Weiss here again. Yeah, I agree with Serene. It's absolutely necessary that the PNB open up their meetings to the members and the listeners for participation. That is ridiculous that that is being ignored. We are being ignored, the funders of the station. And again, regarding selling the station, while I think it would be best if we can, it would be good if we can keep our building, the reality is we need to pay our bills and we need immediate cash. We don't have 2 years to change our programming or to do other stuff. Many of us do not want outside grants or outside funding. This will provide immediate funding, as immediate as we can get, and that is what we need. And I agree with you. We could go to another building. A building is not the station. It's just the studio, and we could set up shop at another building and continue and hopefully have money to actually pay our bills, our electric bill. What good is a building if we can't keep it up and pay our bills and pay our staff to maintain it and to run our station, folks? I haven't heard any solutions yet. I'm still waiting. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. So thank you all listeners for chiming in. I would like to have the luxury to just say also, because I have hardly had any chance to participate in this conversation, there are actually some very practical steps being taken at the moment. Michael Novick is actually changing some grid. We will have a news program. We do off-air fundraising. And also what's very important, Andrew, to consider is that even if the building would be sold immediately, I mean, it would take 6 to 8 months. We don't have 6 to 8 months. This is one of the many reasons why I consider this nonsensical. And so we will definitely talk about this more in the future. I would suggest that John puts the total motion as it was adapted into the KPFDX, as you have mentioned. And we'll just have, maybe there will be some motions coming down for the next LSD meeting. I wanted to thank you all for hanging in there in this long conversation. It's a very vital and important topic. So I wanted to have the time, and I really appreciate all of your opinions and civilized moments, how we talk with each other. And hopefully it's getting better and better that we can hear each other without yelling all over each other. Thank you so much and have a wonderful Sunday. So we are adjourning this meeting now. And we'll hope to see you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.